Are you a clinger? This is Father Scott Seethaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you're starting to feel overwhelmed by all your responsibilities, your duties, all the things you have to get done, if you're just going around with a heavy heart, please don't be overwhelmed. Laugh. Laughter's the music of the heart. Laughter's pain turned inside out. Laughter's a shock absorber of life's hard knocks. You can't be depressed if you do a lot of laughing. Do you know if you share a joke or a funny incident that occurred to you with another person, you can maybe make them laugh, and then their day becomes more bright. You don't stop laughing because you've grown old. You've grown old because you stop laughing. And you don't laugh because you feel good. You feel good because you laugh. Gotta laugh, folks. In times in which we live, laughter is more important than ever. And I'm one who committed to doing a lot of laughing. Okay, the scripture passage that I want to share with you today comes from John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. Okay, let me set the scene for you. It's right after Jesus is buried. You know, he died on Good Friday. He's buried. The Sabbath day is passed. Now, Mary Magdalene is going to go to the tomb. She wants to see what's going on. And here's the passage, okay? Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary?" She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. End of the passage. All right, now at the beginning of the program, I asked you a question. Are you a clinger? Somebody who clings. Now, can you see why I asked that question from the passage where Jesus says to her, "Don't hold on to me. Don't cling to me, okay? I've not yet ascended to my Father. I've not returned to the Father." You know, this concept, don't cling, don't hold on to me, it's an important one for us also. Why? Well, sometimes people get stuck. They get stuck in their understanding of God. You know, our faith starts in our childhood if we're trained by our parents. And we start this whole growth process of coming to realize God. And our relationship with God, you know, it gets purified. It gets purified throughout the whole developmental process that occurs, not only physically and emotionally, not only intellectually, but spiritually, right? And so if we get locked into a very incomplete understanding of God, it's going to create problems for us and perhaps for other people. If we have this one-dimensional understanding of God, If we make God into our own image and likeness, and you know how many people have done that throughout history, and they continue to do it today. They make God into their own image and likeness. Then we're going to have problems relating with God. You know, if you think God is out to get you, if you think God is a tyrant, if you think God is like the Gestapo, the German Gestapo, the Nazi Gestapo, or if you think God is a wimp, if you think God is indifferent, you can't cling to any of these false images of God. You have to come to know and love God, and we do that through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you're a Catholic, you know how many of our prayers end with the sentence, and we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So it's good not to cling. And that's why organized religion is so important. That organized religion frees people to come to know God as God wants us to know God, come to have a relationship with God in a way that God wants us to have a relationship with God, that organized religion does not get in the way. If you start clinging to a false understanding of God, it will cause great hardship in your life. God doesn't want us to cling. He wants us to go and share good news. You know? And remember, our experience of God should not be experience of just you and me, God. You and me, God. For Christians, it's not you and me, God. It's you and we, God. Christianity is a communal religion. Yes, there's a place for hermits and contemplative nuns and contemplative monks, but even they have some interaction with a larger community. Even they direct their prayers to the whole faith community, to the family of God. Even they offer up their sufferings for the salvation of people in union with Jesus Christ, of course. And so we have to be careful that we don't cling to this image about you and me, God. What's that invite? Elitism. That invites being condescending towards other people whose faith is a little weak. This advice that Jesus gives Mary Magdalene is important. It's important for her and it's important for us. Now notice that she recognizes Jesus by his saying her love, her name. Her name so tenderly. Mary? One word, Mary. And she recognizes. She responds. Up until then, she thought he was the gardener. And then Jesus, after he says, don't hold on to me, I want you to go to my brothers and tell them. Tell them I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You know? So there's what? We have Good Friday, Easter Sunday, Ascension Thursday, right? It's a package deal. How our salvation is won and played out, and how Jesus, when he eventually goes to the Father, prepares a place for us. Now, remember that women at the time of Jesus were, you know, very, very inactive in leadership roles. I mean, they weren't in leadership roles among the Jews. So what Jesus is asking Mary to do is revolutionary. And Mary goes to the disciples with what news? Here's the news. I have seen the Lord. That gives her credibility. First, they think she's a little whacked. But I have seen the Lord. And she tells them the things that Jesus wanted her to say to them. Any true disciple, yes, even in the days in which we live, when Jesus is no longer walking the earth in the flesh, any true disciple of Jesus should be able to say, I have seen the Lord. For those of us who are Catholic, we say, I have seen the Lord in the Eucharist. I've seen the Lord in the poor. If you're married, I've seen the Lord in my spouse. Parent, I've seen the Lord in children. I've seen the Lord. When we say that with conviction, We have a credibility about us. We are genuine witnesses of the good news. We're able to speak with authority. Authority coming from the word author. Because, you know, our relationship with the author of life empowers us to speak that way. Our relationship with the author of our salvation, Jesus Christ, empowers us to speak in his name. in Jesus' name, like the apostles were saying, in Jesus' name be healed. This is a great passage. It's a passage that invites us constantly to keep growing in our understanding of God, our image of God, definitely in our relationship with God. It gives us a realization that we shouldn't just settle down and get comfortable in one-dimensional understanding of God, like we got God down pat. And it calls us to be real disciples who can say, I have seen the Lord in my intimate prayer through Scripture, through charity, through the Eucharist. Our prayer partners today are people with dementia. You know, and that can be any type of dementia, from a mild form to a very violent form. May the healing power of Jesus come upon them. Today's food for thought comes from a man named Philip Brooks. This is somewhat profound, so listen to this carefully. Heaven is the soul finding its own perfection. No, I have to start over, excuse me. Heaven is the soul finding its own perfect personality in God. Right? So what heaven will be is this, I mentioned this last week, the beatific vision, until we have this unity with God, where God just looks at us with love and we're purified and transformed. And then our life is so directed towards God. Today's food for a small attempt to make you laugh. And the first grade teacher said, a little boy says to his teacher, my mother doesn't know how to raise kids. Teacher said, why do you say that? The little boy says, well, she sends me to bed at night when I'm not sleepy and wakes me up in the morning when I am. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Folks, if you can send me a check, make it out to Tash, T-A-S-H, Inc., so I can keep my hospital for the poor and sick open. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.